Timing's everything. It just goes really quiet. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. This is Pentecost, and we worship a risen Christ, but we also worship the one who's given us the Holy Spirit. Our intimations. Just a reminder, the fire alarm procedures, not likely to be in it. A fire alarm this morning, but if there is, we leave the building through the two doors at the back there, through the front and up to the school playground, and if we're at the back of the hall, it's through either of these two side doors and out. And I really need to perfect my air hostess kind of thing. This is towards the end of Thy Kingdom Come. There will be still material on the Thy Kingdom Come website, which enables you to work through prayers and all sorts of different advice to help you to pray for other people, harness the power of prayer. So I'll leave that to have a think about and a pray about as well, and have a look at the website. South Beach House Summer Fete is on this Saturday coming, 15th of June at 2 o'clock. That's for information. And Cupcake Day, in aid of dementia, Alzheimer's Society. So we'll have to service on next Sunday morning. There'll be loads of cupcakes, Dorothy, for us to buy. We're donating money for a cupcake. So again, it's that whole thing about being together after worship and sharing, and we're putting something to a charity as well, to Alzheimer's Society.
From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to say that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. Condemnation pressing in, I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. So I stand on every promise of your word. To innocence restore, you remember sins no more. So I stand on every promise of your word. When I'm faced with anguished joy,
Holy Spirit, unpredictable as the wind, blow the cobwebs from our lives. Unquenchable as the fire, refine and cleanse us. Yet gentle as a dove, enfold us in your peace. Come now and breathe new energy into our lives, and new life into our souls by your gracious power. Come to us, move in us, work through us now and always. Amen. And we worship. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. Let's stand if we can. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, lamplighter, midwife of change, comforter, disturber, inspirer, and advocate. Come, fill the church with the gifts earth can neither produce nor afford. Come, fill our lives with that rich mixture of peace and restlessness, calm and enthusiasm, which are the hallmarks of holiness. Come, promised Spirit of God, find your way and make your home among us. Almighty and eternal God, our eyes cannot see you, our hands cannot touch you. You are beyond the understanding of our minds, yet you have breathed your spirit into our spirits. You have formed our minds to seek you, inclined our hearts to love you, called us to be heirs of your eternal kingdom. Give us faith to lay hold of things unseen, to live as those who see the invisible God. Bring us at the last to those things beyond our seeing, beyond our hearing, beyond our imagining, to the vision of your glory when we will see you face to face. And Father, hear us now as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, we said it's about Pentecost. It's about the time when the Spirit, Holy Spirit, came into and unto the disciples, the apostles, who are all together after Jesus has ascended. It's a time when all of a sudden people heard different voices and different languages coming from these people. We're going to think about that and explore that a wee bit later on. But first of all, you know, I was thinking about language and thinking about the way things speak and the way we speak and the words that we have. So here's a question. Apart from I don't have one in a roll at the moment, is it a slice? Is it long? Or is it square? And it all depends where you stay in Scotland about what it is. It's been difficult moving from the east coast down to the borders and back, or down to Dumfries and back up into the west coast. Because that which I love in a roll, I've had to remember which way to say it. But here's a lovely thing for me. This is Dundonese, Dundonian. I ate it up. That's how you say that. I ate it up. What do you think it is? I ate it all up. I ate it up. Gies a plenin and an in an ain and a. Is he a clue? Gies a plenin and an in an ain and a. I would like to buy a bridey and an onion one as well. These are kind of, we have to learn different language, and it's different dialect or different accent just about where we are. And sometimes it's easier than other times. But this is a good one. This is especially for someone here. Znarab. It's an Arab. An Arab is a Dundee United football supporter. So especially for Ross, since St Mirren beat them. But it is that thing, when we start to think about language, we start to think about different language, and we hear things differently. And for the people around at that upper room of that house where these apostles were, and they're all speaking different tongues, they all heard something they understood in their own language. And that's one of the miracles that we have at Pentecost, is the people heard, and we're told at the end of the chapter, towards the end of the chapter, Acts 2, that 3,000 people repented and believed. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit that comes to us and shares in different language. So we're going to sing now, and then after the song, have a wee blessing, and then the children will go through and do something much more active, perhaps. The Spirit lives to set us free. Walk in the light. Let's rise to sing. Thank you. Father. Just ask a blessing on these, our children. Lord, that they would only ever know tears of joy. But Lord, we ask for a blessing on them and a blessing on those who teach. Lead them by your Spirit. Fill them with your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's continue with our offering. Move to our prayer points. There's things that we can kind of hold in prayer during the week. From Adrossan Presbytery, congregations of Kilmore linked with Lamlash on Arran and Lily McKinnon. Lily's off at the moment, so Jean Hunter is the interim moderator. And also to remember the Church and Society Committee of Presbytery. From Crossreach, it's at Elms in Edinburgh, and this is a specialist dementia care home for 40 people. And one of the prayer points is to pray for the staff as they welcome new members to the team. May they all share the one vision of good care and high standards. And we go for Path of Renewal. This is the one that always makes me a little bit more hesitant. It's one of these things about saying, pray for us, pray for me. But from Adrossan Presbytery, it's Lumlash with Lily, and then Ardeer Livingston. And then in Glasgow Presbytery, it's the same, the one group. Glasgow Presbytery, it's Eastwood Parish Church and Jim Teasdale, and Dumbarton Presbytery, Rosneath St. Modens, with Christine Murdoch. And the two mentors that have to put up with me is John Murning and David Clarkson. We also remember during the week the anniversary, 75th anniversary of the D-Day landing, and give thanks for all those who were involved in that, but also to remember the pain, the injuries, the loss that was incurred in that whole campaign during the war. And so we hold all these things in prayer, and we hold them all in tension. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you are here. You are in the midst of all of life. And Father, we know that your love endures forever. Father, in all that we do, in all our stillness, in all our busyness, in all our coming and going, God's love, we know your love, endures forever. In our times of feast, in our times of famine, our too much and our too little, enough and not enough, Father, we know that your love endures forever. And the Lord, there's times when we're in our anger and our angst, our passion and our pain, our joy and our jealousy, our delight and our denial, and all these different things and all these opposing things, Lord, we know wherever we are, your love endures forever. And Father, as we think of this world, and we remember all the wounding, we praise for all the healing. Father, in all the conflicts across the world, we ask for your peace. And in that peace to come, we pray that all would know that your love endures forever. Heavenly Father, as we pray for each one here. Those who are on our left, those who are on our right, those who are in front of us or behind us, those seated above us or below us, and those in a different part of this building. Father, we take this moment now just to pray for each one. We might know their name, in which case in our hearts we say it. Lord, we pray for those who aren't here this morning, for whatever reason. We pray, as we pray, your Spirit would touch each one to the point of their need. Lord, we bring our own burdens, our own things that we carry, and we release them to you. And in releasing them, Lord, we leave them with you, in the confidence that your love endures forever, and the confidence that by your Spirit you will deal with them as you promise you will. And so, as we bring our prayers together, let's take the time now, just a few moments in silence, to pray the prayers of our hearts and our minds, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we present these, our prayers, we present ourselves to you again, we dedicate ourselves to you again, and we present this, our offering, may be used in the building up of your kingdom in this place, and may your love endure forever. Amen. All people that on earth do dwell, let's rise to sing our hymn for the month. come to that time where we sit and we dwell in the word from Acts chapter 2, the verse 13 verses, read to us by Susan first, and then Kay will read it again. At the time after that, there'll be that moment where they're on the readings on the screen, and there's just that time to reflect as well and pray. Ask the Holy Spirit what it is that He wants you to engage with in the reading, and then we'll finish by singing together, "Still Seated, My Jesus, My Saviour." Listen, each one, for the word of God.
Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine."
Can we hear that again? A different voice. And just, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be filling us, present with us, and He would just lead us and direct us into engaging with any of these words.
The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were saying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation, under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine."
Thank you.
Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I'll be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I said earlier, this is a time, this is a day when we celebrate the anniversary of when God enabled and equipped the church, Christ's body, with the Holy Spirit. And that idea of thinking about languages and actually what it might sound like to hear different languages all at the same time, and maybe to get a kind of idea of what would happen if that could just all happen in Scotland. There'll be video here. The quality might, of what you see might not be brilliant, but actually it should just be the sound.
Now, when it comes to spreading, there are many things to name. There's butter, and there's fire, and then, of course, there's fame. But the thing that spreads the quickest, it's the fastest, you'll agree, is the spoken word of rumour. Just listen, and you'll see. Now, the rumour I would speak of here was started by a man in Inverness who whispered it from in behind his hand. Did you hear what I heard, Willie? Man, that's awful. Yes, that's right. You'd never have believed it. Man, it gave me such a fright. Now, poor Willie was quite upset when he heard that this had been, so he straightway phoned his brother George, who lived in Aberdeen. Oh, dearie me, says Geordie, man, that's a whiffed a shock. I'll have to tell your cousin Rab for next to me the broch. But instead he told his sister Jean, a bus conductress lass. She told Steenhaven, Larnes, Kirkenock, it don't should pass. Well, that's it I heard anyway. I just that, keep it to yourself. And they did keep it just like her, and couldn't wait to tell. Until she reached Old Farford Toon, where once more nothing loath, she told it to a fisherman who told it to her broth. By Chihuahua was their reaction, or perhaps just, dear I me. And they couldn't wait to tell the tale from the gate until Dundee. Well, I'll no say a word, no, never in my life. But they crossed the water, and of course the story spread to Fife. It was told at every meeting place and spread from door to door. Though they listened cautiously at first, they soon said, tell us more. So more and more and mere the rumour flew down, till they spelt it out in capitals in Edinburgh Toon. They shouted it in Leith. But oh, the tone grew more discreet as it passed up Leith Walk and along the length of Prince's Street. There somebody took it on a train to Glasgow, and that's how. If you live there, you'll probably have heard the rumour now. Not that that's where it all finished, for it carried on and passed by a steamer going westward to Old Ireland and Belfast. Is that the truth, the Irish said? They thought it was a shame. No, they didn't like the rumour, so they sat at home again. To Stranraer it came, then northwards over Ayrshire and Kintyre, where it spread, they say, quite freely, like the heather was on fire. Oban, Mull and Tobermory, Mally, Kyle, and that is why, once again by way of water, the rumour came to Skye. But they couldn't tell it further, and the reason is because by the time it reached the islands, they'd forgotten what it was.
When you start to think about the accents, that took us from Inverness down the east coast, then from across the central belt down to into Ireland, and then back up that through the islands, and all these different accents, almost at times seeming to be different languages, different tongues. And I think that's the point where sometimes we hear that so strongly in areas. But if that was all happening in the one place, if all these accents were being spoken at the same time in the one place, maybe we get a wee glimmer of what it might have been like at the point of the Spirit enabling the disciples to speak in different languages. What I'd like you to do today, sometime today, is just to read the whole of the chapter of Acts 2. It takes us right through a whole day's worth, in fact, into the future. But it's something I think it's worth reading. It's too long, because I had contemplated it for the service. But then if I'd read that twice and sat that through the screen, that might have been just a wee while. But I had to take the time, have a wee read of it later on. Luke in Acts describes the miracle of the coming of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he does this very concisely, and then it moves on to a proclamation. But actually, what was happening in Jerusalem at that time was the festival known as Pentecost. It's actually celebrated on the day after the seventh Sabbath. So it's the 50th day after Passover. It was originally the festival of the first fruits of the grain harvest. So that was where the first grains would be presented to God. And it was also called the Feast of Weeks because it came after a period of 7 weeks of harvesting that began with the offering of the first barley sheaf during the Passover celebration and ended with the wheat harvest. And so when we get to the first Christian century, however, it's actually started to be considered as the anniversary of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, and as a time for the annual renewal of the Mosaic Covenant. Now, you may remember that what we've been doing at the beginning of the year is a covenant service, where during the service we've re-engaged with a covenant that God gives to us and prepares for us. So that was it was looked at as well as this annual renewal of the Mosaic Covenant. And so it was one of the great pilgrim festivals of Judaism. Passover before it, and then Tabernacles some 4 months later. So it sits in there, and that's why there's so many people from different areas, different countries are in, so many Jews from God-fearing nations, it says, are in Jerusalem at that time, because this was a big festival, and it's that day that God chose to bless his people with his Holy Spirit. And so one of the things that Luke's actually beginning to show us here is that, first of all, that the mission of the Christian church, as much as the ministry of Jesus was, is dependent on the coming of the Holy Spirit. So, first of all, the whole being of church, the whole being of Jesus' ministry was all on the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, direct us. And by Luke stressing that on Pentecost was the day that this miracle took place, he's also suggesting that not only is the Spirit's coming adding that continuity with God's purposes in his giving the law. Earlier it was just said it was about the anniversary of the giving of the covenant, so giving of the law, and the Spirit's coming signals the essential difference between the Jewish faith and the commitment to Jesus. So the Jewish faith was centered and directed by the Torah, by the five books of the law. And for that commitment to Jesus, it's all about being Christ-centered and Spirit-directed. So this is where he's just starting to set this in place. This is what Pentecost is about. This is what the coming of the Holy Spirit is about. And so we have this bit at the very start when he describes the Spirit coming in tongues of flame and the disciples speaking in different languages, and people hearing that and being amazed. And then a reading finished on that bit, which was, they've had too much wine. Remember, these are God-fearing Jews from all nations, and they're seeing something of God, and folk are quite quick and quite ready and quite happy to write it off as they've had too much to drink. And it's at this point that Peter starts to speak up. Peter, who was that flighty one who was kind of a bit impetuous and actually reacted badly at times with Jesus, either being over enthusiastic and then getting it wrong, going too far, but here he is now. The Spirit is on him, it's filled him. The Spirit has filled him. And here's Peter, he steps up and he starts to preach to all these people. And he does this in a particular way. He identifies first that the age of fulfillment has dawned. Here we are, all these scriptures, and he quotes scripture in his preaching. As these have now been fulfilled, here is the Spirit. We're now in that time. We've moved a time, and this is fulfillment now. And actually what he's saying is, we're now moving into the end times. We're now at a particular time in our journey with God, and this is where we are. The age of fulfillment, the promises of God have now come. It's in the Spirit. The promise is contained in the Holy Spirit. Jesus has been. And this is also the bit he puts into context, is all this has happened through the ministry, the death and resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. And he gives a kind of round story of this is what happened. And then uses scripture to prove that. And so Jesus takes on this position, this mantle now. He is the one who has come from God, and he's gone back to God, but he's been anointed with the Holy Spirit. He's left his Spirit behind. He's been given to the church. But he's now ascended and has that position exalted at the right hand of God. And this is the stage that Peter has taken the people through. Then the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in the church is a sign of Christ's present power and glory. So the Holy Spirit in the church is a sign of his presence, his present power and glory. Christ's present power and glory. This is where the church has been activated, enabled, equipped with the Spirit. And Peter brings them through in this preaching, brings them through these stages and getting to that point of this time will reach consummation, will reach its ending point, its finishing point in the return of Christ. And we know that Christ will come again to rule and reign over the earth. And this is what will happen. This will be the end times. So we're there now in that position of being between the time of the kingdom come and the kingdom to come. Jesus has come and he will come again. And as in all his kind of preaching in Acts 2 to 4, Peter follows this process and closes it with an appeal for repentance, the offer of forgiveness and of the Holy Spirit and the promise of salvation. That is the life of the age to come to those who enter the elect community. So closing then, he brings it together and he says that this is a chance for repentance. Repent and believe come forward, be baptized, seek and receive forgiveness, receive the Holy Spirit. And this is salvation. So this is where Peter takes these people. And for some, he's still drunk. They're not interested. They don't want to hear. They don't want to know. They've rejected the message. For some, for 3,000 were told that day, they all turned. They believed. They repented. They were baptized. And they became part of the community. And that last section of Acts, from Acts 2:42, is that bit about how the community are together. Explaining them being together, sharing together, reading the word together, praying together, breaking bread together, sharing what they have together. It's Acts 2. Something to read this afternoon, because it sets in place just where God is with his church. For having redeemed us through the death, the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit. So as we turn to him and we declare him to be our Lord and Saviour, our Redeemer, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't just for then to start the church off. That's for now and into the future, until that time where Jesus comes again to rule and reign. I don't know what that's going to look like, other than we're all going to be praising him. But he gives the Spirit. We were promised the Holy Spirit as a gift for each believer. And as we believe and confess and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that gives us choice. We have choice in this. We could reject that gift. It's easy to, reject a gift. We can get a gift and we can reject it in so many different ways. We can either say no thanks, or we can do that bit about, oh, that's lovely, and put it away and forget about it. Or we can just ignore it. I know it's there, I'm just not interested. Just not interested. The other thing we can do is accept it. And so we accept that gift of the Holy Spirit into our lives. What we're actually doing is accepting that there's going to be change in our lives. It's going to be change because the Spirit will transform us. We'll have much more and know much more about who God is through the Holy Spirit. If you remember last week when I spoke about the triangle, drew the triangle, so that Psalm 139 was all really about our up relationship. Well, this is what we do when we accept the Spirit in our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We're actually working with God and in that up relationship with him, that right relationship with him that leads us into different places, because it takes us into the in, how we speak with each other, and the out, and how we go out there and speak with others. And actually, if you follow what Peter says in Acts 2, we have the model for it. Actually, because we tell them about Jesus Christ, that he died. And some people have said, you've had too much wine. But actually, that's what we are called to bring. That's how mission comes, and that's where the Spirit feeds our mission, enables our mission, equips our mission. It's not us that does these things. The Spirit does them. We're inspired by the Spirit. This is a day for us to celebrate, as every day of the Lord's Day is. But this is a day when the Spirit came. This is when the Spirit comes to set us free, to enable us, as the song says, to walk in the light. This is a day where we can rejoice, as we can at any time with Jesus. But actually, as we look to our future here in church and think about all the changes that Church of Scotland have announced and what we have to do in this place. Actually, you know, we can do that with certainty and with confidence in the Holy Spirit. If we focus on what it is he's calling us to do. So this reading from Acts is not something just to read and forget about. Actually, this reading from Acts is actually the pinnacle of everything that we're to do and directs us and leads us into our future. What we do with the gift of the Holy Spirit is up to us. What we do is up to us. We can accept it, we can reject it or ignore it, but God gives us a gift. We use it. We allow that to inspire us and move us, not for our sake, but for God's sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that your word can be heard in so many different languages and dialects and accents. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit present with us now enables us to understand, to share, to know just who you are, what you're doing for us, what you've given us, and to respond in the love that you give us in the first place. As we pray in Jesus' precious name, amen. We sing together for my sake and the gospel's. With unflagging zeal, aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord your God. In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, all those whom you love and those whom you struggle to love, and then until Jesus comes again and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. As we share the peace, let's just do that around as we sing peace to you.